Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 54 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
The city finds a supplier here pretty soon. I told the mayor and some of the council people that we can maybe help them along until they do find one.
Judge Executive Jim Nichols says Rowan County should be well stocked with road salt this winter and will help the city of Moorhead keep the roads clear. The results of an investigation into a fatal ice bucket challenge accident in Campbellsville have been released, and SunCoke Energy has filed an application to build a new coke and power plant in Greenup County. In sports, the Louisville Cards take on second-ranked Florida State tonight, but Luke has the stock news, and it'll be mostly cloudy tonight with lows around 40 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news. Former President Bill Clinton is telling Kentucky audiences today that Allison Grimes can become the Commonwealth's next U.S. Senator if there's a strong voter turnout Tuesday. Clinton spoke in Louisville this morning and in Ashland's Veterans Park this afternoon. The Democrat compared Grimes' contest with Republican incumbent Mitch McConnell to a basketball game.
This is one of those games where David walked on the court with Goliath. The lead shifting back and forth. We're down to the last 2 minutes. The person with the ball at the end of the game is going to win this.
Clinton says Kentuckians must make sure Grimes has the ball when the clock winds down. Most polls show the race is close. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal spoke at a Republican Party rally in Louisville Wednesday night, telling members that voters want changes in Washington, and that'll be apparent Tuesday. Jindal says they're unhappy with two leaders in particular, President Obama and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
People are tired of it. They're ready for a hostile takeover of Washington, D.C. Not for small changes, big changes. It starts on Tuesday.
Jindal was stumping for incumbent Senator Mitch McConnell, who is seeking a sixth term in next week's election. McConnell is in a tight race with Democrat Allison Grimes. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell says the federal government needs to do more to protect Americans from Ebola. While only a handful of cases of the deadly virus have been reported in the U.S., many Americans remain worried about a possible outbreak here. McConnell calls the Obama administration's response to Ebola spotty and says some common sense measures could very easily be implemented.
Certainly, I'm not a healthcare professional, but it seems to me there are a couple of things that make obvious good sense. For example, a travel ban. On travelers coming from that part of the world seems to me to make a lot of sense. I know some of the healthcare professionals say that's a bad idea, but I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out why that would be a bad idea.
The Republican also says he's withholding judgment regarding the naming of Obama political operative Ron Klain as the nation's Ebola czar, saying it's too early to evaluate his work. Congress has already set aside $750 million for the fight against Ebola, but McConnell says lawmakers stand ready to spend more money should the President Obama ask for it. Greenup County Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter says the construction of an electric generating plant near South Shore could help the region's economy. SunCoke Energy has promised such a facility, and Carpenter has been named to a power siting board to assess the merits of the application. The judge spoke with WSAZ.
It's just a big deal, and it's good for the tax base. It's good for everything.
The only concerns that I really have are the health concerns.
The electric generating facility would be accompanied by a coke plant on several hundred acres near the Ohio River. Carpenter says SunCoke would likely employ more than 100 people at the site. He says approximately 800 jobs would be created during the two-year construction phase. Fleming Mason Energy is warning its customers of a scam. Director of Member Services Mary Beth Nance says the perpetrators are calling homes and businesses and telling them that their service will be cut off at the end of the day if they don't pay their bills. Customers are then told someone will come to their door to collect the money. Nance says those calls are not coming from Fleming Mason, and customers with questions are urged to call the utility.
We like to look out for the interest of our members and assure them anytime they have any questions with anyone coming onto their property, anyone representing themselves, being from Fleming Mason, whether it be in person or over the telephone, feel free to call our office at our 800 number and report that to us.
Nance says Fleming Mason is turning over all information it has about the scam to Kentucky State Police. Rowan County should have plenty of salt for its roads this winter, so says Judge Executive Jim Nickel. While the Morton Salt Company has sent several local municipalities, like the city of Moorhead, scrambling because it's told them that it will not be selling to them this year, Rowan County got a break in that situation. Nickel says the county contracted last spring with the North American Salt Company, which will be selling road salt to Rowan for about $78 a ton.
For last year, it was $4 or $5 less a ton last year. So, you know, as everything else, it goes up in price. But we were very lucky to secure our supply, and hopefully we won't have to use it all.
That $78 is a ton is about 60% less than the going rate for rolled salt price right now. Nickel says Rowan County's 650-ton salt storage bin is full. The county has offered to share some of its road salt with the city of Moorhead if it runs short this winter. The second phase of Ashland's development of Russell Park will be launched in the spring, so says Mayor Chuck Charles. He notes that's when volunteers and civic organizations will again descend on the new park to carve out additional hiking trails on the 45-acre site. The initial 1.4-mile trail was finished this fall and was dedicated earlier this month. Now, says Charles, the next round waits.
It'll be pretty much the same thing. We'll probably add a couple more miles in there. The property is actually on the other side of Ashland Avenue.
Charles says the Foundation for the Tri-State Community recently secured a grant to help pay for development of the first path, which runs from the 2000 block of Hilton Avenue to Ashland Avenue. A new report on hunger finds that more than 1 in 6 Ohioans is struggling to put food on the table. The data is part of Feeding America's National Report on Hunger. The study found that about 2 million Ohioans, or 17%, receive food assistance through the state's Emergency Food Network. That's up from the last report in 2010, which found that 1 in 8 Ohioans were getting emergency food help. Many individuals reported unreliable access to affordable and nutritious food, and 81% say they purchased cheap and unhealthy items to help themselves cope. The Ohio Association of Food Banks released the state figures today. The organization says it's requesting $20 million per year in the state's next two-year budget to address the rising demand. A Boyd County man accused of choking his former neighbor to death on Memorial Day has opted out of a preliminary hearing. The Ashland Independent reports the case of 45-year-old Charles Wilhere will now be heard by a grand jury, which will decide if he should be indicted. Adkins is charged in the death of 29-year-old Aaron Adkins, who lived across the street from him. Kentucky State Police and deputies from the Boyd Sheriff's Department responded to a report of a shooting at that residence around 3 a.m. on Memorial Day. When authorities arrived, they found the two had allegedly been fighting, with Adkins being choked to death. If convicted, Wilhere faces a sentence of 20 years to life in prison. A former Carter County deputy has been sentenced after an appearance in Carter Circuit Court on Tuesday. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has more.
According to the Ashland Independent, 38-year-old Matt Morrison was in court for final sentencing after pleading guilty last month on two accounts of official misconduct, both being a Class A misdemeanor and one account of tampering with physical evidence, a Class A felony. Morrison was accused last February of forcing sexual favors in return for not serving an arrest warrant. His attorney says there were several disputed facts in the case and touted his client's lifelong ties to the area and his history of volunteer service. Harris gave Morrison 5 years of supervised probation according to terms of the plea agreement reached with Special Prosecutor Mel Leonhardt. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
A man has been indicted after a bizarre death at the Jessamine County Jail. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has more.
A grand jury indicted Michael Jones for manslaughter, promoting contraband and drug trafficking. He had originally been charged with murder. In August, police say Jones soaked his underwear in liquid methadone while out of jail on a court-ordered furlough. They say Jones wore the underwear into the jail and then gave pieces of it to other inmates. Police say inmate Corey McQuarrie died after ingesting the methadone. Suzanne Duvall, KNN News.
No safety regulations were broken when a firefighter was killed and several were injured during an August ice bucket challenge in Campbellsville. That's the conclusion of the Kentucky Public Service Commission following an investigation of the accident. Andrew Melnikovich is a spokesman for the commission.
The basic finding was that there are no safety violations on the part of the utility which owns the transmission lines, which is Kentucky Utilities.
Fire Captain Tony Grider died after his department participated in the ALS charity event on the Campbellsville University campus. Investigators said their truck ladder got too close to a power line. The PSC did not probe the underlying cause of the mishap. The Aviation Museum of Kentucky will be giving an award to Morehead State University's Space Science Program at a ceremony on Saturday at its Lexington facility. The program will receive the museum's 2014 Kentucky Aerospace Achievement Award for its work in preparing students for the aerospace industry. Dr. Ben Malfris is the chair of MSU's Earth and Space Sciences Department and says much of the credit for the award can be traced to the capabilities of the school's five-year-old Space Science Center building.
We have a state-of-the-art spacecraft integration and assembly facility. It's a clean room. It's a class 1000 clean room. The instrumentation for that clean room was mostly funded by a contract with the Defense Department. But we have an electromagnetic anechoic chamber. We have a state-of-the-art mission operations center where we control the big dish remotely and measurement equipment for the small spacecraft.
The MSU Space Science Program has worked on projects with NASA and the U.S. Defense Department. It's been a front-runner in nanosatellite technology. Marshall University will host a series of public forums to discuss the future of higher education funding in West Virginia. Next month's programs at three of the university's campuses will give faculty, staff, students, and residents an opportunity to learn about the impact of budget cuts and ask questions. Legislators and representatives from the governor's office and the Higher Education Policy Commission have been invited to participate on the panels. The forums are sponsored by the university president's office and the Faculty Senate Legislative Affairs Committee. Programs are set for November 13th in Huntington, November 18th in South Charleston, and November 20th in Point Pleasant. The Rowan County Veterans Foundation and Morehead Post 126 of the American Legion are preparing for a special event on Veterans Day. The World War I Doughboy statue, which was taken down a few months ago for refurbishing, will re-debut on its new base at Freedom Park on the lawn of the Rowan Arts Center. The area's veterans will also be honored during a luncheon hosted by Morehead State University at the Adrian Dorn University Center. According to a spokesman for Morehead's American Legion post, Charles Gilley, it's important to hold such events to honor those who have served their country.
Here's some people, men and women, that has given their lives, some of them, and served their country to afford us freedoms that we have today. We want to celebrate what they have done for our nation.
The Veterans Day celebration will take place at Freedom Park on November 11th at 11 a.m. Churchill Downs is spending over $4 million to improve the Derby Day experience for horse owners. Spokesman Darren Rogers says the track is building 20 open-air suites in the section in front of the Twin Spires.
They're going to receive up to 18 complimentary tickets in these 20 VIP private lounges that have convenient access to the racetrack. People in the surrounding areas should not have any obstructed views.
Rogers says the improvements will be made in time for the 2015 Kentucky Derby. And now for your weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. There is a freeze watch in effect from late Friday night, that's tonight, through Saturday morning. Tonight will be mostly cloudy. We'll see a chance of rain showers and lows around 38. The chance of rain is 30%. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain showers likely. Highs in the upper 40s and a chance of rain 70%. Tomorrow night, cloudy, rain or snow showers likely in the evening, then snow showers likely late. Cold with no snow accumulation expected. Lows around 32 and a 70% chance of precipitation. On Saturday, it'll be cloudy. We'll see a chance of rain or snow showers in the morning, then areas of drizzle in the afternoon. Highs around 42 and a 30% chance of precipitation. On Saturday night, mostly cloudy and cold with lows around 28 degrees. And on Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 40s. Sunday night, partly cloudy with patchy frost. It'll be cold again with lows in the lower 30s. It is currently 51 degrees in Ashland. It's 49 degrees right now in Flemingsburg, 51 in Inez, 55 right now in Lexington, 51 in Winchester. And here in Moorhead, it is 54 degrees. The time is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition. You're on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR comes up at 5 o'clock. On our feature segment this afternoon, the Pickin' Time Mountain Music and Harvest Festival will return for its second year on Saturday. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has the story.
The festival showcases the music, art, cuisine, and culture of the Appalachia region. It will be held at the Robinson Center for Appalachian Research Sustainability, or RCARS, in Jackson. RCARS is part of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment. David Ditch is the director of RCARS, and he explains what the center is all about.
It is a facility operated, managed by the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture to work primarily with stakeholders in eastern Kentucky, primarily in the areas of forestry, horticulture, livestock forages, and family consumer sciences.
Ditch says that the festival is a celebration of what it means to be an Appalachian. The people are proud of how unique Kentucky is and what makes it such a special place. The events that take place during the Pickin' Time Mountain Music and Harvest Festival shine a spotlight on what makes Kentucky so special.
Music is probably the number one attraction to this event. We bring in some of the region's legends, some of the most well-noted musicians in mountain music. We also invite in a lot of our local crafters to sell and demonstrate their arts, their talent, and we also want to make sure folks don't leave without tasting some mountain cuisine, so that can come in all kinds of forms and fashions. This year, we're going to be offering a root soup lunch.
Music does play a key role in the festival. There will be several musicians, singers, and songwriters to not only perform, but also lead workshops and also an open mic session for anyone to share their own mountain music. Ditch is glad that so many accomplished musicians are coming this year.
We have got Brett Ratliff. He is going to be teaching guitar. John Haywood is going to be teaching banjo. Jesse Wells will be teaching fiddle. And Rich Kirby will be teaching mandolin. The MC of the program, music portion of the program, is Dr. Ron Penn. He's a professor in the UK School of Music.
Ditch explains that the festival will be like a three-ring circus because of all the different activities. He promises that even if attendees don't like instrumental music, there will be singers and songwriting workshops, their first annual cornhole tournament, plus a workshop with the Robinson Center's Woodialization Center. Ditch says that the center is very unique and offers attendees a true hands-on experience.
Folks can come, attend a workshop where they learn about our Appalachian hardwoods and get to make a free, personally engraved cutting board.
Doors open at 10 a.m. November 1st, with lunch starting at 12 noon. The cutting board workshop is at 11. Brett Radcliffe's guitar workshop is at 11 and again at 2. John Haywood's will teach banjo at 11. You can learn the fiddle with Jesse Wells at 2. Carla Glover will offer a clogging lesson at 1. Dinner will be served at 4 o'clock. There will be an open mic at 4. And the festival will come to a close around 7 with a square dance led by Randy Wilson. Ditch says that his favorite part of the festival is watching those from the older generation interact with the young people.
Seeing a lot of the young musicians come in and their interest in learning from the older folks, you know, learning the old ways, learning the old tunes. I think just, you know, preserving that history is really important, and I enjoy seeing that interaction.
Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jordan Simonson.
4:49, you're listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Zachary Sinviski's been keeping an eye on your sports world. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, featuring Kentucky favorite George L. Lyon, on November 8. Inside the old University Cinema at 159 East Main Street in downtown Morehead, the Fuzzy Duck and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday. They are online, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram.
The Cardinals get a shot at the number 2 team in the country. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Mountain Edition Sports. I'm Zachary Sinviski. Louisville's football team gets the chance to square off with second-ranked Florida State tonight at 7:30 at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Led by Heisman Trophy winner Jameis Winston, U of L coach Bobby Petrino admits the Seminoles' offense will be a handle for his defense.
They're very balanced. They can run the ball, they can throw it, they can throw it deep. So obviously you first have to stop the run. That's the most important part of defense, is to stop the run and try to make them get behind the sticks. And then we're going to have to be able to play tight coverage and rush the quarterback. He's a difficult guy to tackle and bring down, so we have to have discipline in our lanes and mix things up.
The Cards take a 6-2 record into tonight's game. In some Thursday night NFL action, first place is on the line in the NFC South this evening as the Panthers entertain the Saints. Carolina starts the night just percentage points of a lead over New Orleans with a record of 3-4-1, while the Saints are 3-4. It has been an odd year for New Orleans as the Saints have won all three home games while dropping all four road games. Of those four defeats, three of them have been by 3 points or less. The Saints and Panthers split their two games last season. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure says when it comes to defending Butler, what you see is what you get. Tenure's Eagles will visit the Bulldogs in a PFL contest Saturday at noon. According to the MSU bench boss, Butler's fundamentally sound offense doesn't rely on much deception, and that should help the Eagles.
For example, in certain sets, you know, we know what we're going to want to be in on defense. In certain formations on offense, you know, we know what we're going to get. We know what we're going to get from a cover standpoint. And it's really the first week in a long time this year that we have that kind of preparation. So feel good about it. Just got to make sure that our players can go out and execute.
Both MSU and Butler are 3-5 overall. The Bulldogs beat the Eagles 58-27 last season. Round County's football team is keeping its offensive game plan simple as the Vikings visit Montgomery County tomorrow night in their season finale. Coach Ray Graham wants the Vikings' wing T attack to grind out yards, produce points, and use up the clock.
We've got to get our fullback established, then have to have a good sound perimeter off of it and play action passing. Just good execution, no turnovers, no dumb penalties. Maybe we do it that way, then we'll be fine. We'll be right there. It'll be a really neat game there at the end if all those things happen.
Rowan is 1-8 this season. Montgomery is 2-7. Eastern Kentucky's top two prep football teams meet tomorrow night as undefeated Johnson Central, ranked third in Class 4A, entertains Belfry. The Pirates are 8-1 and rated second in Class 3A. Central coach Jim Matney wants the Golden Eagles to finish the regular season without a loss, but with the playoffs looming, that's not his number one focus.
You want your kids to play well. You know, obviously you don't want to start playing bad, but as far as postseason, I'm not sure that it has really anything to do with postseason. You don't want to play bad. You don't want to have injuries.
In other games, Bath entertains Nicholas. Greenup visits East Carter. Fleming plays at Shelby Valley. Paintsville visits West Carter, and Morgan travels to Powell. For the first time ever, Morehead State held Basketball Media Day, which featured head coaches and players from both Eagle basketball programs. Men's Hoops is picked to finish in second place in the OVC's East Division this season, and head coach Sean Woods says his guard play will be the strength of his team.
With Kareem Story, of course, who was our starting point guard last year, and then you got Angelo Warner, who's preseason first team all league, and then you got Brent Arrington, who's probably the most underrated guard in the OVC, with Corbin Collins, a transfer from LSU, and then the two freshmen in Miguel DeSint, who's having a great camp thus far, and then also Markelle Willis, who's been hurt a little bit.
The media also caught up with women's basketball coach Greg Todd, who is entering his first season as the Eagles head coach. The Morehead State men will host an exhibition on November 5th before opening its regular season action on November 14th against UNLV. The Eagle women also begin their regular season on November 14th when they visit Norfolk State. LeBron James makes his official return to Cleveland tonight as the new-look Cavaliers open the season with a new head coach, revamped lineup, and fired-up fan base. The Cavaliers, who failed to make the playoffs last season, start a new campaign with a game against the New York Knicks. That's all in the world of sports. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Zachary Sinviski.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Volleyball will host two OVC opponents this weekend. Belmont is featured in a match tomorrow night at 6 p.m. and Tennessee State on Saturday at 2 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks jumped on Thursday, with Visa helping lift the Dow Industrial Average into the green for the month of October after data showed the U.S. economy grew more than expected last quarter. And the data from the Commerce Department found that gross domestic product grew at an estimated 3.5% annual rate in the third quarter, bolstered by a smaller trade deficit and a rise in defense spending, and this was better than the anticipated 3% number most analysts had expected going into the report. And the Dow Industrials finishing with a very strong gain of 221.11 at 17,195.42. The S&P 500 was up 12.35 at 1994.65, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 16.91, finishing at 4566.14. New York Stock Exchange breadth was a very strong 19-11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. On the New York Mercantile Exchange, gold futures fell $26.30, or 2.2%, to $1,198.60 an ounce, while crude oil futures declined 89 cents to finish at $81.31 a barrel. The U.S. dollar climbed against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, and the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note fell slightly on the day to finish at just over 2.31%. And as mentioned, Visa, by far the strongest of the 30 Dow Industrial stocks, as it finished with a gain of around $20 per share, putting it at an all-time high after Visa did report better-than-expected earnings, and in addition to a recent dividend increase, also extended or expanded a stock buyback program. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 24 cents at 106.52, CSX down 10 cents at 35.30, AEP up $1.52 at 58.28, AK Steel down 13 cents at 7.28, Kroger was up 49 cents at 55.04, and Walmart was up 5 cents to finish at 76.44. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Now your weather forecast again for the MSPR listening area. There is a freeze watch in effect from late tomorrow night through Saturday morning. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain showers with a chance of rain 30%, lows around 38 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy with a 70% chance of rain showers, highs in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night, cloudy with rain or snow showers likely in the evening. Then snow showers getting very likely late. We'll see a 70% chance of precipitation. Cold, no snow accumulation expected, with lows in the lower 30s. Taking a look at the temperatures around the region, in Ashland it's 51 degrees, in Flemingsburg 49. In Inez it is 52 degrees, in Lexington 55 degrees, Winchester's at 51, and here in Morehead it is 54 degrees. And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Zach Sinviski, Sam Steyert, and Jordan Simonson had our feature segment. From the Kentucky News Network, we had help from Suzanne Duvall. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR news team, I'm Arlo Barnett for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.